I have a message to share with you today, and I feel like it's fitting to start that right now. And I believe that the word of the Lord, the word of God, it's the track that we run on. And I believe that what the Lord wants to do later on, we're going to pray for people. As we conclude 21 days of prayer and fasting, that we're going to get into worshiping the Lord and take communion together a little bit later on. But I did just want to get into the word because the word sets the pace. The word sets, it's our parameters. And so we are going to get into the word today. So this is week three of Lean In and Listen. Week three of Lean In and Listen. And this has been a wonderful series so far as we conclude 21 days of prayer and fasting. Welcome to church, everybody. Thank you to those who've joined us online. We're glad that you're here today. We believe that God has done some amazing things already in our church family over these 21 days. Amen? You agree with that? And as we come together, as we pray, and as we fasted, we have heard from heaven. We're already hearing testimonies and reports that God's been moving in our church, that God's touched bodies, God's touched lives. People are encouraged, and that symptoms that they had, that they're now not there anymore. So God's already working in our church family, and you're like, well, hey, nothing's happening for me just yet. I believe that the entrance of the Word of God brings light, it brings encouragement, it brings illumination, and the seed was planted, so the work has already begun. Amen? So the past few weeks, we have answered several important questions. And those questions are simply this. Number one, does God speak to me? Does God speak to me? Will he speak to me? And when he does, do I know and do I recognize his voice? So those are the questions we have asked and we have answered over the past several weeks. And I believe that, yes, God does speak to you. But here's the problem sometimes is that sometimes our flesh is the loudest voice in our life because that's the only one that we're feeding. That's the only thing that we're feeding is the flesh. When you feed the flesh, that's going to be the loudest voice in your life. When you're feeding your spirit, you're becoming stronger on the inside. That's why 21 days of prayer and fasting, it's a reset for us as a church family. So we're reading the Bible, we're praying, God, we're seeking you. And then you become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What's he doing in your heart? You recognize his voice, you recognize that pull. He's not the loudest voice in the room, he's a still small voice. Why? Because he wants to get you in the quiet place. He's not all hype. He knows how to get your attention if he needs to. But he's not all hype and he's not all loud and boomy at times. At times he can be. But sometimes he just says, hey, get a little closer. Lean in and listen because I have some things I want to talk to you about. I want to share some things concerning your future, concerning my plan for your life. I have blueprints and plans for your life, for your destiny, the way that you were built, your purpose, your destiny, the things you like. I have a plan that engulfs all of that to make you feel fulfilled. So as we enter this 21 days of prayer, or as we conclude 21 days of prayer and fasting, you know, sometimes there are people in life, they're just frustrated. They're frustrated because they're not operating in their purpose or their gifting or their calling or pursuing things that God has built them to do. That's what 21 days of prayer and fasting does. We reset. We understand, hey, God, this is you speaking to me. This is the Holy Spirit dealing with my heart. Now I have a choice. Am I going to obey what he's been saying? Am I going to recognize the pull of the Holy Spirit when he pulls on me again as I'm reading, as I'm praying, as I'm in the pattern now, 21 days. They say it takes 21 days to begin a habit. Are you in the habit of reading and praying? Are you in the habit of studying? It doesn't have to be hours. No, that's the misconception that we have. Just give God 5 minutes, start there, and then watch how that relationship with you and God develops. And then you'll go 10 minutes, then you'll go, what, you don't have to go hours or 24 hours or anything like that, no. Just continual conversation all throughout the day. That's what God wants. He just wants your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23 has been a launching scripture in this series. Out of the NIV, it says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, like all that is important and it's great, but hey, above everything else, guard your heart. Why? Because out of it flows the issues of life. Our heart determines how we respond when the Holy Spirit comes knocking on our door, when he has that tug on the heart, put that meal aside. Just come pray with me for a few minutes. He puts this scripture on you, and you want to pray and you want to read that. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The main way that God consistently speaks to you and to me is through his written word. I thank God for prophets. We had Dr. Barallo in a few months ago, and she operates as a prophet, not a pretend, not trying to be, not trying to work something up. She is. She doesn't go around announcing it everywhere and things like that. She actually fought it for years. But there's some people that they continually chase the prophetic. And when you chase the prophetic, you're going to get off. Be a God chaser. Chase the word of God. Chase the presence of God. Don't be chasing the prophetic, because every prophet, every words of a prophet, they have to be tested and tried and true. Some things you might hear from a prophet, put it on the shelf. If it doesn't apply now, God, your word will come to pass if this is your word. If it's not, then don't try to make something happen or manipulate it, because you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get off. You're going to get in error. You're going to get in false doctrine. We'll keep moving this morning. The consistent way that God speaks to you and me is through his written word. That's why the daily habit of spending time reading and praying, reading the Bible and praying. Books are great, but reading the Bible, I want to encourage you. You don't have to read the King James Version or the New King James Version to be saved and go to heaven. Read one that you're going to read. How about starting there? Start with a translation or a version that you will actually read, and then you can cross-correspond with it. Maybe look at something, maybe the New Living Translation or the NIV. Pick one that you will read and stick to consistently. And then you can track later on as you grow with the Lord, amen? But that's the daily habit. That's why it's important, spending time and reading the Bible daily. That's because the Bible is God speaking to you and me. There's wisdom to succeed. We can learn through the successes and the downfalls of others in the written word. You don't have to make a mistake like others did in the Bible. You don't have to make a mistake like Samson or like David did. But you can look at what they did, learn from it, set up parameters and boundaries in your life, and then set up accountability, and then repent, and then turn to God. That's the blueprint. That's the pattern. But you don't have to mess up like maybe David messed up or others messed up. Amen? We can learn through the downfalls of others. We can learn seeing where they missed it. We can learn the successes and learn the setup. Say, hey, how to have a great marriage, how to be successful in business, how to raise godly children in a crazy world full of chaos and confusion. We can learn that. We can know that. We can lead the culture. We can learn how to live free from addiction and shame and bondage and the past and the pain of the past and so much more. All by the written word. Read it with an open mind. James 5, verses 15 and 16, a very important passage of scripture for us today. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Why? Because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Not little, but much. Don't worry. Don't get nervous. We're not going to have a confession booth this morning. Oh, we know. No, no. That's between you and the Lord. Do a heart check right now, because we're going to take communion later on. But Lord, if there's anything in me that's not worthy of you, Lord, I confess that. I lift that up before you. Lord, search me. You know my ways. And offer that before the Lord, and like, let's just see what he says about that. James 5, 15 and 16 from the Amplified. I want to highlight some things here. And the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another. It doesn't say don't talk about the slips. It doesn't say you're to talk about the slips, the steps, the offenses, the sins. Don't gossip about it. Don't talk about other people's stuff. No, it says pray for one another. We cover each other in love, in the love of God. But back to this scripture, that you may be healed and restored, to a spiritual tone of the mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes, or woman, makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Not manipulative in its working, dynamic. There's always power that follows after the word in the presence of God. The subject of prayer is so vast, and it's as broad really as the Holy Spirit himself. So what is prayer? What is prayer? Some people overcomplicate. It's not saying a bunch of these, thuses, and thous and praying in King James language. I grew up in a church like that. That's not prayer. Prayer is simply this: communicating with our Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe. You have to put it in perspective. Oh God, my Heavenly Father, creator of the universe. That has to be our mindset when we go and pray, because the very little things that we think are big things aren't really big things. They're really little things in the sight of our Creator. God, who spoke the world into existence, can handle your problem, can take care of your pain, can take care of that issue, can give you wisdom to course correct where maybe things aren't right. Prayer is connecting with God in a very real and powerful way. In a very real and powerful way. Prayer is leaning in and listening. God wants a meeting or an appointment, because some people don't like the word meeting. God wants to have an appointment with you, a gathering time, a place to hang out, a place of fellowship, a place to continually, hey, this is our meeting place. This is where I want to gather with you. He's requesting the pleasure of your company. He's requesting the pleasure of your company. We have an open invitation with the creator of the universe, the one and only true God, who loves you and me so deeply. You have an open invitation to boldly approach the throne room of grace to receive mercy and help in time of need. See, the difference between prayer and worship, and they're so intertwined and connected together, is this. When we worship God, He comes into the room. He walks into our presence. We bring him in here, but no, he comes in. Yes, he walks through the aisles, Jesus says in the book of Revelation. He walks through the aisles, making sure that he is pleased with what we're doing here. But prayer, we boldly enter the throne room of grace. We enter into his presence because we have an open invitation. It's relationship. It's not rules and regulations and things that you... No, there's a right way to act, a right way to... God, my Heavenly Father, there's respect, there's honor, there's revere, there's fear of the Lord. Healthy, revere. God wants a meeting. Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, then bring me an offering. For everyone who gives, who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." I'm not going to take up an offering here. It's not about money right now, or really ever. The offering that's talked about here is simply this: are you willing to meet with the Lord? Are you willing to make a sacrifice and offer the Lord your time? I was up at 3 a.m. praying about the service order, and like, are y'all going to be mad at me because I changed it after one song, and we're going to get into the message, and then we're going to do a couple things afterwards and pray for people and take communion. So I wasn't going to overthink what you're thinking right now. Oh, but this is different. No, we're going to follow the leading of the Holy. But I had to make a choice. Was I going to obey the Lord at 3 a.m.? Was I going to get up and pray and identify and respond to the stirring and the pull of the Holy Spirit? Why? Because God wants to do something in your life today. The seeds have already been planted in 21 days of prayer and fasting. And if today's your first day with us, first experience with us, you can be caught back up supernaturally by the word of God through prayer. God will meet you right where you're at. You don't have to miss out on the thing. The offering we give is, are you willing to take the time to meet with him? One of our overseers, Pastor Jeremy Cannaday, Christ Chapel, Tennessee, he always says this line: it's not task, it's treasure. When God calls us to do something, to pray, to do something, it's not a task the appointment, the meeting, the gathering, the time together, the fellowship. It's not a task, it's treasure. Those are treasured moments to where God wants to meet with you and pour out his goodness in your life because he loves you. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, God speaking. Exodus 25, verse 22. And there, where in the sanctuary that he's talking about? And there in the sanctuary, I will meet with you and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat. I don't have time to get into the mercy seat today, but that's where the presence of God, the power of God can be experienced. From between the two cherubim, which are the ark of the testimony or ark of the covenant, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. First point today is God wants to meet with you. God wants to meet with you. I will meet with you. The tabernacle that they were building was called the tabernacle of meeting. It's mentioned 135 times in the Old Testament. Today we call it church. Let's get together and have church. Let's get together for church. And the church isn't just four walls or a building. We are the church. We're the people of the church. We're the church. But this is the physical gathering, the house where we meet. Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. Now when Moses went into the tabernacle, all tracking together here, when Moses went into the tabernacle of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice of the one speaking to him from above the mercy seat. He's not talking about one of his friends. He's talking about God. From above the mercy seat that was on the ark of the covenant or ark of the testimony, from between the two cherubim, thus he spoke to him. God spoke to Moses at this time in their tabernacle, in the meeting place, a set apart time. It was a place that God called and God wanted to meet with his people. God desired to have a place where he can meet with his people, and he still has this desire today. This can never be a ritual or a routine, whether you're in the building or online. You can't just take it for granted. There's people in other nations that cannot meet like we meet. We must never, ever, ever take this for granted. We have an appointment with heaven. And every time that has to be our mindset, our heart. Because if not, you're just going through the motions, checking a box. I don't want to check a box. I could check a box in a lot of other areas of my life, like eating good and going to the gym and working out and being, you know, all the different things. But no, I'm not. This is a relationship. It's not me checking a box or a religious duty. We have a relationship. We have been granted fellowship and access with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's great responsibility and great purpose, but there's great treasure in meeting with him. I've had a lot of good meetings in my life with a lot of great people. I've stood before a lot of great men, but there's nothing. I know, you know, I can be a distance away from some leaders, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. That's that person, and that's who we've, and you know, political figures, whatever, presidential candidates, whatever it might be, great ministers and pastors, that's awesome. But it still does not compare to that 3 a.m. tugging on my heart, the Holy Spirit coming. Would you pray? Would you get up? I want to share something with you. Oh, I'm not disrespecting the great men and women that I've met or that I will meet in the future. Oh, but it's nothing. It does not compare to when the presence of God comes in and we have that meeting place and that appointment and that time. I want to meet with you. I want to talk to you. I want you to lean in and listen because I have some things to say to you. I want to give you wisdom about your marriage. That thing you've been believing me for, you need to make this adjustment. It's in those quiet times the still small voice speaks. Sometimes it takes 3 a.m. because that's when we turn off technology and that's when we're quiet. And it takes several hours for us to get quiet and not look around or get distracted because you're all Netflixed out. Or the game's over. I will meet with you. In this verse, it sounds like there's two things, meeting and speaking. It sounds like they're the same thing, but they're different. I've been to meetings where I haven't been allowed to speak. You know what I'm talking about? I just show up, I'm in the room, I follow instructions, see you when I see you. I've been to meetings. You just got to sit in the meetings. Just sit down. Meeting and speaking are different. Leaning in and listening and responding. Something can be spoken and a meeting does not take place. There are occasions in the Old Testament where God would have something to say, so he would send a prophet. Today we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us that declares truth to us, that leads us and guides us in the way that we should go. The Holy Spirit will bring back verses to your memory when you're in a situation, in trouble, needing help, because he always speaks the word. He always confirms the word. And the scripture will come up out of your belly. Why? Because you're supposed to declare that scripture over your situation. You're supposed to speak that scripture over your body, over the people that he brings to your mind, over whatever you're dealing with. Either that or it's comfort that, hey, you know what? I will never leave you or forsake you. I've got you. But you must not go by the way you feel. You must trust in me. I am the author and the finisher, the perfecter of your faith. Follow my leading. Why does God want a meeting? Why does God want a meeting? We can clearly see a pattern in the Bible where the people that had a meeting with God, they were not the same when the meeting was over. I've been in some meetings and I've been the same afterwards. I've been in some meetings and I was not the same afterwards. I was tired. I wanted to go home. I was hungry. As a matter of fact, I was hangry. I've been in meetings where I've been affected and touched and changed and transformed by the power and presence of God. In the scriptures here, there was something that happened when people encountered the living God. When God met with Abraham, when God met with Moses, when God met with Joshua, things happened, things changed. When God met with David, things changed. Sometimes it was correction. Sometimes it was building up. Sometimes it was setting up. Sometimes it was speaking to purpose and destiny and calling and equipment for the plan of God. God met with Zacharias and Elizabeth. God met with Mary. Jesus met with the disciples. Jesus met with Peter after the resurrection and restored him. Jesus met with Saul from heaven on the Damascus Road. Jesus met with John the Revelator, and that's when John penned the book of Revelation. There are three characteristics of a meeting with God. Number one, a meeting can be personal. A meeting can be personal. Number two, in a meeting, there's an encounter. There's an encounter. Number three, in an encounter, there's always, or there can be, an exchange. There can be an exchange. You see someone's expressions, and you see their emotions. You see if they're really getting it. Do you get it? Do you get me? Do you understand me? God wants to have a meeting with you, and in that meeting, he wants to encounter you and wants there to be an exchange. He wants to exchange. Now, I'll get to that in a second. God met with all of these people in the Bible to bring change, to bring restoration. This is God's plan for prayer. Prayer is when you meet with God and there is an encounter that takes place and this exchange. You bring your worry, your fear, your concern, your issues, your shame, the anxiety that's crippling you, the frustration that you have. You bring that before the Lord. He takes that from you and gives you his peace. He gives you his acceptance, his love, his assurance that, hey, you don't have to know the 10-year plan, the 15-year plan, the 20-year plan. And all my type A's just freaked out right there. No, he just wants you to take the next step, because if you knew the other 15 years worth of plans for your life, you could have a general idea, but he's not going to give you everything all at one time, because you would talk yourself out of it. You would negate it. You would say, God, not me. You would say, God, find somebody else. Or you would try to make it happen. That's why it's important to be in step with the Holy Spirit, in step with the Word. When God speaks, be quick to obey. When he wakes you up and says, hey, or you feel that tugging or that sensing of the Holy Spirit, whenever you sense that, say, God, here I am, fit for the Master's use. What do you want from me? I want you to pray about this situation. You need to pray about your family. You need to pray about your kids, especially this kid in this area. You need to pray about this or so-and-so. Or God might show you something on the world platform, the world stage. Whatever it might be, the Lord is speaking. Are you listening? Are you leaning in, availing yourself and listening to the Holy Spirit? God assures us that everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. The next point, I will speak to you, Exodus 25, 22. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat. Notice that God did not say, I will speak about you. I will speak above you. And especially, he did not say, I will speak to you. You're like, what are you saying? God wants to speak with you. Do you see that? God did not say, I will speak about you. He didn't say, I will speak above you. He didn't say, I will speak to you. God wants to speak with you. It's relationship. It's communication. Prayer is all about a relationship with Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have the right words. There's times where, God, I just need your help. And you can be real with God. He already knows you anyway. He knows the stuff that you're hiding, that you're not willing to admit, and hiding from other people. He knows all about your religious face and all the other stuff, and he still offers his grace. He says, here I am. Here I am for you. But sometimes you can just be real. God, I'm struggling in this area, and I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of going around in circles. I'm tired of the junk. I'm tired of whatever. And just be real and honest with him. God, will you help me? God, help me in this area. Lord, I blew it again. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Help me. Lord, bring people in my life that can help me. We need each other. God wants to hear from you, and you hear from him. It's called communication. Just like you would communicate with a friend, a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, a spouse. Talk to God that way. It's a relationship. There's times where he will correct. God doesn't argue with you. He just repeats. God doesn't argue with you. Anybody have anyone that has ever argued with him? No hands, awesome, just me. Cool. Send me your notes and I will go ahead and work on my life then. God doesn't argue with you, he just repeats. Because he's merciful, he's gracious, he's loving. He's not a big God up in the sky getting ready to beat you down with a lightning rod or a stick because you're not obeying. No, he loves you. He sent Jesus to die on a cross for you to forgive you and cleanse you so you can have a good, healthy, normal relationship with the creator of the universe. He's not trying to strike you. He will correct, and you will know when he corrects you. The Bible says his plans for us are not plans to harm us or to hurt us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. So the correction is to build up our hope and our anticipation in him. That, hey, you messed up, you blew it, but get back up, take the next right step, let's go. I will speak to you. The next one is, where's the meeting place? Where is the meeting place? The meeting place, Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern that all of his furnishings, just so you shall make it. God wants a place where he can dwell and meet with his people and speak with his people corporately. That's what we call church. This is why we gather together. But in church, and I used to clean carpets when I was in Bible college. Worst job ever. Let me just tell you. Up close and personal with things that I did not want to be up close and personal with. I mean, I had to go, and the company that I worked for was ChemDry, which ChemDry is amazing. I'm not advocating ChemDry right now. But I would have my carpets cleaned today by ChemDry. I can tell you the process, but I will save you the time. I would go into some government subsidized housing, and there are times that I'd have to walk around drug paraphernalia and stuff and junk and clean up things and just all kinds of funk. One of the things I would notice in cleaning carpets is that there were traffic patterns. There are traffic patterns from years of wear. The carpet gets worn out, and like even like moving people's furniture, we'd have to move heavy furniture around and clean under and then move it back and then, you know, prop these little styrofoam blocks underneath it so it doesn't leave marks from the varnish. But you could see a clear difference from where the dresser or the bureau was or where their couch was to where people walked all the time. There was a traffic pattern. See, when we enter into the presence of God, there needs to be a traffic pattern, a well-worn pathway that I can go into the presence of God because I can boldly approach the throne room of grace. I don't have to walk around the bureau or the dresser or the couch. I don't have to move things around. That God loves me and I love him, and I have access freely to his throne room anytime I need to. Traffic patterns, a well-worn pathway into the presence of God. It'll change your life. If you don't have one, begin today. If you started 21 days ago, keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Keep moving forward. Wear the pattern out. Wear out the traffic. This is where I was. This way here. If you ever lose your way, oh, I know exactly where to go. This is where I've been before. Oh, there's the presence of God. Oh, yeah, it's 3 a.m. Well, I haven't been here before at this time of day, but here's the presence of God. Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you, Lord? You're my master. What do you need from me right now? I need you to pray and intercede for this person. I need you to pray for your spouse. Whatever he needs you to do, just do it. The Old Testament was a pattern or a copy of something that God has already planned. God wants to dwell and to meet with you and me personally. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. He is your heavenly Father. You have access to him freely. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. You're the temple. I will dwell in them and walk among them, is what God said. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Thank you, Lord. Oh, can you just thank him right now? Lord, thank you that you're my God. Oh, you're not just God in heaven who doesn't see me, who doesn't know me. I thank you that you're Miss Pam's God and that you're my God and that even when we need help going up the stairs, that you're still my God and that you're working in my body because you're my God. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Wow, what a promise from heaven. God's with you in the good times, in the bad times, in the sad times. He's with you all the time. He's with you no matter what you're facing in your life. He wants to speak with you, and God wants to meet with you. Will you avail yourself to him? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 simply says this, therefore, let us boldly come to the throne room of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Help is here. Grace is here. Mercy is here because Jesus is here. The presence of God is here today. So let us continue to lean in and to listen because God wants to speak to you. God wants to meet and gather with you. And remember this meeting, let it be personal. Let it be an encounter. Make time. Don't be in a rush. Set some time aside. Well, I only have 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Great. Then let that be the most undistracted, undisturbed 15 minutes that you got. And you go for it. Let there be an exchange. God, it's a bad day for me. If you need to start there, then just tell him. Be real. Be honest. Because he wants to make it a good day. God, I'm struggling. I have some thoughts. God, I'm a mess on the inside. He already knows that. He's just waiting for your invitation so he can meet with you, so he can remove that and heal you from that. But it takes you being real before a real and loving God. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus today? He wants to take away all the pressures of life and all the junk and all the stuff and all the pressures for our kids in school. All the stuff that they're dealing with that we as parents and grandparents and loved ones have no idea. The pressure. The stuff. We think we know, but we don't always know everything. We need the Holy Spirit now more than ever before. We need an appointment with God more than ever before. We need to meet with God and get on our face before God more than ever before for our families, for our marriages, for our loved ones, for our nation. If my people who are called by my name, is anybody called by the name of the Most High God? Let me see your hand. I want to see you identify right now. Let me see your hand. If my people who are called by my name, if they would humble themselves and pray. Sometimes humbling yourself is just clearing off the calendar. Don't plan something. I have a time, I have a meeting place. This is my date with God. Not weird, gooey. Don't. This is my appointed time with God. And my mindset, my purpose, I'm going to hear from heaven. Oh, I'm going to hear from heaven. You don't make stuff up, but I'm going to hear from heaven. And hearing from heaven, God will give you a scripture. If you have the verse, you can have the victory. If you have a verse, you can have the victory. If you have a verse, you can have the victory. What's your verse? What scripture are you standing on? The Bible says the word of God, it's quick, sharp. It's like a two-edged sword. It can divide soul and sunder. That can divide you, what's you, and what's flesh, what's God. It'll divide it. Ooh, maybe I have a word just spoken. Maybe it was today, sorry. I've had been in meetings, I've been in services to where something was said, and just like, ooh, that hurt. That's the correction of the Lord trying to get your attention that say, hey, make an adjustment right here. And all this stuff that you've been believing me for will actually come into place. But this is what's out of alignment in my assignment for the plan of God for your life. Watch what he does. Watch what he does. This year's a setup for you. I believe that. This year is a setup. This year's a setup for relationships. God's setting things right, setting things in order in your house. But you have to cooperate and agree with him. Not when you want. When he wants. To an encounter, let it be personal. Let there be an encounter. Let there be an exchange. Because he wants to relieve you of the pressures of this life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Someone has arranged this meeting today. Someone has arranged so that you can have an impersonal encounter and a relationship with God. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus offered his life willingly for you and for me. See, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus. But God just didn't send Jesus. Jesus came and offered his life willingly for you and for me and for all of humanity. Why? Because we're all born into this world sinful, needing a Savior, disconnected from God. Why? Because you'd have to go back to the book of beginnings in Genesis. God created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve, they sinned, and when they ate of the tree that he told them not to eat from, that's when sin entered the world, and there was a break in the fellowship, a break in the relationship. Things were different from that moment forward. We're all born into this world sinful as a result of that. So listen, here's the thing, is that God loves you so much that he sent Jesus. Jesus offered his life willingly for you and for me. He wants to take the pain of the past. He wants to take everything that you've been through. He says, listen, I paid a price for your sin, for your guilt, for your shame, and for your pain, so you could be healed and restored. Even the one thing that you think that he can't heal, even the one scar that you think that he can't, that abuse, he can and he will. Just invite him in. Do you know Jesus? Have you asked him to come in and be the Lord of your life, your Lord and Savior today? Whether in the building or online, I don't know everyone. But Jesus, when he grew up, he entered into his ministry. He healed many people. He encouraged people. He set people free. He transformed lives. The Pharisees, the religious people, hated him. They falsely accused him. And he was sentenced to death on a cross. They thought they were just killing him, removing him, wiping him off. Oh, but without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus offered his life willingly, died on the cross for you and for me, shed his precious blood, became our sacrifice. He paid the price for our sin, past, present, and future. And sometimes it's really hard for us to understand that. That's why we just have to believe. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't stay on the cross or in the tomb. He was dead, but on the third day, he rose again. And when he rose again with purpose and life and restoration and healing and everything that you need. He said, I am.